Let's call this meeting to order. 6 o'clock meeting of the special city council meeting on Tuesday, October 14th. Madam Clerk, can you call the roll?
Councilmember Best?
Here.
Councilmember Colmes?
Here.
Councilmember DeVries? Councilmember Erby?
Here.
Councilmember Hanson?
Here.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Here.
And Mayor Johnson, I presume, is on her way.
Okay. I just figured we should start on time because we have another meeting in an hour, so. What do we have next? Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Best, you want to lead us in the pledge?
Certainly. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Later.
And now we have audience participation. Do we have anybody in the audience that wishes to come speak to the council? Since one is plugged into the headphones and the other staff, it doesn't look like it. So we'll continue on to committee of the whole. Let's see, we have to do a motion.
Okay. I'll move that we move into the committee on the whole regarding utility rate study.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of going to a committee of the whole to discuss the utility rate study, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Any opposed? So we are in a committee of the whole. So, Mr. Manager, or what's the council's desires on this? We had a preview, I think, of this a month or two ago. Mr. Manager, you want to?
So you have new information in front of you. Just a reminder of, we started this way back in February, and we hired a consultant to come in and help us with the study to look at what our future needs are, what our current needs inside and outside the city, and then to develop a proposed rate for inside and outside the city. And they did that, and it's attached. I think one of the times when we got together, we went through all of the detail, but basically what's here is you take the current operations, and he makes projections out for several years, in this case 3 years, and they look at capital. Well, then I kind of came on board, and we've been looking at services inside the core area, but outside the city limits. And we're doing a lot of work up there with the Southwest Extension and have for several years, and we're just completing the reservoir. The impact of that is that we have current debt that we, as all of the water users, are paying for, some for operations, but a lot for the capital that's out there. And so there have been a little over $14 million invested, and then we've borrowed money to pay for our matching portion of that. Well, if you take that debt, and that's what this latest memorandum has, in order to retire, that debt runs us from, depending on how you calculate, $136,000 to $200,000 per year. And you can make an argument, which we have in here, that a large majority of that is put in there to serve the people that are outside the city limits. They're in the core area. So that suggests you either try to raise rates that will recover that or use some other tool. The recommendations that were in the original study in February and then reviewed, I think, in June, show rates going up pretty significantly. I think it's 15, it depends on water or sewer there, but some of them are 15%. And if you were to recover just the cost of the debt that we have now on the backs of the outside users, we'd go well over doubling the current rates, which probably isn't that attractive to people. But we also have, as soon as the reservoir is complete, which is what we're just about now, it'll be complete in December, we're now going to start picking up the debt, or we have to repay for that. So on top of that $130,000, we're now going to have to pay the debt. That suggests to me, or my recommendation to you, which was, I think, when Councilmember Hansen said, well, show me some numbers here, is that it suggests that something like a system development charge, whatever our state statutes will allow, we need to be putting the, or if you wish to do this, which I think is what you said you did want to do, we need to figure out a way how new users will pay for at least a portion of the capital cost, that portion that we're doing as debt. And that's going to require, we need to do more calculations. I can only do so much. And the group that did our study, they could do this, but we're probably looking at easily $1,000 or maybe $2,000 per new connection if you do not want the users as a whole, inside and outside users, to pay off that debt. In addition to that, and in your report that came out in February and in here, was another distinction that they made, which I think is very significant, and that's that they distinguished, as we run water lines, this is only water, not sewer, when we run water lines out there, we put hydrants. So right now what's happening is that, so we've had a capital expenditure that's put out there, part of that $14 million, and we can identify how much that is. And we will use city crews to go out and test those. But they're there for the purpose of fire protection. So we have in this core area, we not only have users, which are very small number, and they're in there, and you can see what's inside the city. I mean, we're less than 5% of the total of our users, but we have other people that are inside our fire protection area that are getting the benefit of it. When they do the ISO, when they do the fire insurance ratings, one of them is what kind of equipment you have and how close, but 40% of it is about where the nearest hydrant is and what kind of reservoir do you have to be able to put the supply. Therefore, my recommendation to you is that we go down the road and say that there is an appropriate amount of this total cost that we have that should be assigned to the rural protection area. Now, how would you get that? Well, we have an annual contract with the borough for fire protection. You know, where we, if you remember, we split the cost of that. And I think I've at least ran the concept up with the borough manager. So he says, I'm coming there. So John Moosey's question was, I don't know if Alaska statutes will allow you to go on a system development charge, which would be like new development comes in. But the mechanism of having the rural fire protection, it's there for one purpose, and that's to do it. So part of tonight is you looking at the rationale, and Tom and I, and the consultant is with another city council tonight in Missouri. We believe he'll come down, but both Tom and I are prepared to talk about any of the items in here, the basis of it, the capital that's on there. We're also prepared to, at least in the theory that's in here, talk about system development charge. We have not gone down to whether the Alaska statute would even allow us to collect a connection charge, but I'll finish with this. You are going to get an increasing number of people that want to hook up to our water and sewer system. If you remember, 1 month ago, there was a apartment complex that came in. If there had been a system development charge of whatever amount, say $1,000 at 25 units there, you would have had that money to put in. And there's two kinds of system development charge. One is to recapture the investment that's already made, and the other one is to capture new improvements that you project. Now, in our whole water service area, we don't truly have a big master plan, but most of the major lines are already in. with one exception, and that's your number one legislative ask, and that's about finding additional wells. So if a well is, you know, that we get the money from the state, they say you should put in a new well and or a new reservoir, there will be a cost to that. If it's all grant funded, then great. No one should have to pay for that. We got it from somebody else. But if we have the same kind of 20% match, then it, to me, it seems most appropriate that the users out there charge it. That's when system development charges could come in.
Okay. Let the record show that Mike Gaddy's joined us. I know he's in another meeting, but he's joined us at the table now. So, Councilwoman DeFreeze, you have
a
question?
Thank you. On page 6 of 24, under the very first bullet point recommendations, it says outside this, I think that's supposed to be outside city users or outside the city users. It, I don't know, that doesn't read quite right, but I think you're talking about the people that live outside the city limits of Palmer.
Right.
Okay. Should pay a fair share of cost of operations of the water system specifically constructed for their benefit. And my question is, why only a fair share? Why not the whole construction? And so I just wanted some further clarification on that, please.
Mr. Manager.
Thank you. So the what I put in there for fair share is, first, the concept of, like, system development charge or charging people is new. And you haven't stated what your preference is for that. Fair share can also be that if you have a 14, like we do, if we have a $14 million project and $12 million of it comes from the state, then they should just pay their share of potentially do that.
Right.
Now, another part of that is if you have a system development charges that tries to recapture past investment versus future investment, typically system development charges will be the same for new expansion to the project for everyone. But for past investment, if you go there, then there can be an argument that says if you're in the city, that has already been covered by city residents, and the outside the city residents should pay a slightly higher amount. That's another, it's acceptable with the rate people, according to Sean. This has been tried once before in Anchorage. We didn't have a lot of success with it, of convincing, because it's a complex issue of saying you pay for what and who inside and outside. But that's what I mean by fair. There can be, you might have, and it's acceptable to do that, have a different charge for someone that is inside your city limits and outside. And there are some people that would say that's kind of against the purpose of a whole water or sewer service area, that it shouldn't be a difference. But you can, and you can make that decision as a policymaker that outside the rate, outside the city limits, is one classification of people. That's what I meant.
Okay.
Councilman Hansen.
Okay, so I want to belabor this outside the city thing.
Okay
so earlier when we talked about this, my distinction that I was pushing for is the Southwest Utility Extension, not outside the city. The Southwest Utility Extension is a, you know, was a conscious investment decision by the city of Palmer to expand dramatically into new areas. That's what drives the costs, not the incremental other little facilities that we put in and around the city. For instance, right besides the Palmer Commercial Center, we extended sewer and water over to that subdivision, which is called Majestic Hills, or what is the name of that?
Crothers?
Yeah, Crothers. I mean, oh, Crothers, old Crothers Potato Fields.
I think Majestic Hills.
But water is.
Majestic.
Likewise, Helen Drive. It was annexed, got a state grant. We extended and annexed Helen Drive. So to me, the distinction is Southwest Utility Extension, not outside the city. I think outside the city has negative connotations with respect politically to future annexations. You know, it's either have or have not. I think we need to distinguish this by saying you're either on the Southwest Utility Extension, or you are a part of the proper City of Palmer utility system from day one.
Mr. Mayor. Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Manager.
The distinction is kind of, if you look where the Southwest Utility Extension, that $14 million investment, that occurred from where the city limits are out to the hospital. So you can make the argument that every person that's not hooked up to the system right now that eventually puts a line to get to that main line going through should be an appropriate payer or contributor to the cost of that project.
Okay. Let me just interject. I think something that is happening is, I think for most of us that were on the council, with the Southwest Utility Extension, it's kind of an emotional context. It was a big decision at the time, and we wanted to make sure that it was going to pay for itself and it wasn't going to come back and affect the other citizens. And so I think, I mean, and that's from a period of time where it had a very specific, feel to it in my brain, anyway. Councilwoman.
I'd like to finish up my thought there.
Go ahead, Mr. Hansen.
So, I think I see what you're saying here, okay? But I really think we as a city council, moving forward with the rate study, need to use the terminology Southwest Utility Extension as the two different categories of ratepayers. I think using outside the city, inside the city, is about a bad policy decision for us moving forward under anything. I think, we tried to convince residents outside the city that, you know, they're as much appreciated within as they are out, and trying to convince them that maybe annexation is an acceptable way of moving forward. And when we categorize or classify them inside or outside, I don't think it's doing justice to their value. So I think, within this document, outside the city is used over and over and over and over again. And I just think, as a matter of policy, to get people to buy into the fact that we're a city that wishes to expand its corporate boundaries as well as its utility boundaries in a fair and just way. And I don't think saying outside the city is a fair and accurate description of what we're trying to do. And I think it's confusing to people. So, I don't want to belabor this.
And that's fine. We can change the language there. I think what substantively is a difference is that you can, first, you know, as an option for you, that you can make the distinction. And so we've said that, and you know it, and it's in your back of your mind as you make a decision. The other part of that is that we have current users right now, some of the subdivisions that are adjoining the city, and they do not necessarily benefit by the extension that goes out to the hospital. So you would then, we will have to use a great deal of finesse at showing what the difference is between a subdivision that's close to where this water line, that might be on our existing water line, but doesn't use it. And so then when you assign cost, then we have to draw basically water categories and areas to do that. Can you do that? Yes, you can. It can be cost to do that, but equally important, which I think is much, much more to the point of, you look at the amount of money that we have to recover from there, and the only source you have of money right now are the existing ratepayers. And the overwhelming number of existing ratepayers are city residents. So therefore, if we're going to meet these, which we've already committed to because we borrowed the money, the debt on there, if if you only want the people that are benefiting, forget city limits are out, know that there is a very small potential number of users that are out, that are outside the city that are benefiting from this, but we still have costs. Therefore, it's going to go back on the existing ratepayers to pay that. And that's fine as long as you know that that's what I'm presenting. My suggestion is you to at least you consider that even if someone is outside the city limits and they would like to annex to us, conceptually, I think most people think it is appropriate that if something is built for them or provided exclusively for them, like this Southwest utility, that they would pay something. What's different is they've never been asked. And this conversation is much more broad. Water is the biggest one right now, but there's sewer that's coming. And as things fail into the system, there's going to be people that want to come in. And even more than that one is roads. And you gave the example of Helen as a very good example of that. The way we are now, the borough allows development that occurs in the core area outside the city. Don't want to use that. I understand that. But there are impacts that are outside of the city to inside the city residents. And Helen is the perfect example. That road was not built to the standards of what is shortly going to be built there. And so whether we're allowed to get new legislation that does impact fees during the plat process, or there is a system development charge that can be agreed upon that goes on that area, when these new developments come in, we won't have, unless council goes down that road, we won't have an ability to have the impact on existing roads covered by those people that are outside. And there will, right now we know, or we believe, there's going to be a very significant one with the new traffic that's going to come from the new subdivisions right off of Helen.
Councilwoman Combs?
For the most part, I agree with Councilmember Hansen about the use of the inside and outside, because I might be boiling this down in the wrong way. To me, it's more about what the project is. I mean, if in the future, if we decide to go down this, have this way of thinking, in the future, if there are, is a new development that is specifically going to affect the water users and they happen to be inside the city, you know, I would think that, you know, we're going to want to be even-handed. Same thing should happen. So why would it have to be identified with inside and outside? The identification should have to do with the project, no matter where it's physically at. Is that what you're getting at, Mr. Hansen? Or because that makes logical sense to me. You know, it makes perfect sense to me. And again, I understand it's wording and everything else, but I do remember the emotionalism of the, you know, Southwest utility extension. So I personally just think it should be tied to whatever the project is. And that makes logical sense. I think it would make logical sense to anybody. Oh, that's what this charge is for. Is for, and you know, we can call, you know, project A, B, or C, and maybe your billing is going to end up being different because of where you're at, and you're you know, you're talking to one of your buddies and they go, well, I've got this Southwest utility and you've got project C. That's just the way it is. So that I think that's mostly, I just support what Councilmember Hansen's saying.
Councilman Best.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I think Brad and Linda have made great points, but I think it actually it makes it to the opposite. The idea of inside of city limits and outside of city limits, and there to be a charge, an additional amount of, you know, fee, a higher fee for outside of city limits, I think that's actually a selling point when we do have annexation, because there's so many benefits from being inside of city limits that that they're being taxed for, and you know, the property taxes from the city of Palmer that are being applied to additional services that are being utilized by the water and sewer service folks, the other work that is going on for the roads, and the argument of inside and outside, I think makes perfect sense. So for us to eliminate that out of this document, I think it helps us in the discussion for annexation later if we differentiate inside and outside. When we had the discussions of annexation with folks, it was always, well, what can you do differently than what I'm getting outside of city limits already? So if there is a higher rate for outside outside city residents, I think it would help us make that argument for annexation. The system development charge, per se, a developer comes in and wants to attach to the city water line. I think that's something that I would prefer that we stay away from, because we want multiple users. We want lots of growth in that water use, because the lifeline of a pipe in the ground, it's not so much the volume of water that is flowing through it that's going to make it deteriorate. It's the fact that it's sitting in the ground. So we could have 10 users hooked up to that water line, or we could have 100 users hooked up to that water line. It's still going to deteriorate at the same rate. So 20-year lifespan on that pipe, it doesn't matter how many are going to be hooked up to it. So we want more users hooked up to that water line. So I think if we have a development charge, we're actually going to cause less developers to hook up to it and try to punch holes in the ground.
Councilman Hansen.
I think there's some real distinctive differences between what I'm talking about and what you're perceiving as. Okay, first of all, we have a service district, the Palmer City Water and Sewer Service District. Okay, so we really can't justify our rates by saying inside or outside. We got to justify it by saying, here's a project that incurred this much cost to do, and we got to justify the rates that way. Okay, for us to say that there's rates are based on inside or outside the service without specifically looking at projects or activities that attribute to costs is disingenuous to anybody that wants to come into the city. I mean, basically you're saying we're charging different rates for inside and outside the city only based on your geographic location, not because there's specific costs or rates that are responsible for specific costs and projects that are responsible for your rates. And I think that's completely disingenuous. And I don't think the APUC or whatever it's called, RCA now, maybe they don't, do we have to take our rates to get that justified anymore? No. But I don't think that they would pass the mustard as far as of a justification for rates. I mean, there's no basis. There's no justification cost-wise. I mean, you could indirectly say there are certain services inside or outside, but I mean, we're a water service district and we're a corporate city government. There are two different things. They're related, obviously, but they're two different services that we provide.
Mr. Manager.
Just real quick one. Right now, we are not attempting to recover any of the investment of the system that we have now. In order to provide water service to an area, it's not only the most recent line that had to go out there in the reservoir. There are wells that had to be made. There were lines inside the city to get the water to the areas. And if you think of it, maybe as a club where you've bought a membership in, that original, whether you call them inside the city or outside, that's just existing users. Those existing users paid money through either bonds or through their service fees to pay for a system. Right now, what we don't have is, as someone hooks up to that system from the outside, of recovering and paying back the user that's been here for years that has paid. And what's proposed to you is a system of rates that includes with that paying for current operations and also for capital investment. Well, what I would suggest or offer is that they not only have to pay for that new things that we're in, but is it not appropriate that they pay back some of the existing users that have paid for this over the years, that if they don't have, they don't get the water that gets out to the utility?
Councilwoman DeFreeze.
Okay. Just change the terminology to existing users and new users. Get rid of inside, outside the city. And just say existing users and new users. I mean, if it's the terminology that's upsetting, change the terminology.
Councilwoman DeFreeze.
Your Honor. I guess what I have envisioned in my... Ooh, boy, that's loud. What I have visioned in my mind is all of, when I was treasurer, all of this assessment cards, because at that time, everybody in the city paid for the well on Scott Road, all of that stuff. And then, you know, I see people on the other side out in Crothers Field coming in and using all of that, all of those services, and yet have not paid a penny for that. And that's why, and maybe we'll need to have three, you know, one, like what Ken said, existing users as of now, and the users that it didn't pay in for to that original development, that they actually are using the facilities for that. So, and I missed all the fireworks in year 2000. So that's what I see. Where I live now, those people paid for the lines and things that other people are signing on for using, and they have that free benefit. They haven't paid any historical costs at all, I guess, is maybe the terminology.
So where do we want to be heading with this? We're still in committee as a whole, but I mean, as far as we have, I believe the rate study had a proposed rate adjustment, and was that?
Well, I wouldn't mind the city manager walking us through this spreadsheet.
Okay, so we want to get a little more detail on the numbers. Mr. Manager.
Okay, and may I ask if Tom would come up and sit at the front also?
Come join the fun, Tom. So what page are we going to start on here?
So
page 9.
I can start on 1 of 22 if you want. It's either wherever you'd like. I think that the consultant did for us is he took and we'll do that. We took existing revenues. He took an estimate of what our capital improvement would be, and took the estimated number of users and then divided them by classifications of whether they're residential users or whether they're commercial industrial users, and made those categories and assumptions, and then developed from that rates. What he didn't do, which is fine, but that's why I was bringing up the point, is that there is no attempt to recover any of the existing investments that are made. And also, because we don't have yet the reservoir bond payments in, those are not fully accounted for. But we can start right on the revenues and how much the adjustments were made. So in the 2013 and 2014, those are what our estimated or projection revenues are, and it kind of goes with the rate revenues. He has what I think is instructive. If you go down to about the sixth line, It says what a percentage increase in fees to a bill might be, and then that generates a new line of revenues. So if you go across the first line of it and it says these are what the revenues are that are expected, and then when you take out expenses, which gets us down to about, you know, the fifth line where it says the balance, it says where there might be a deficiency. And you can see in 2015, it starts at 60,000 and works its way out to 2019 at 389,000. So then what the consultant did is he said, what increase in the rates with the projected users that we have, and those are assumptions, could basically bring that deficit to zero, because we don't operate on zero. And so I guess to try to help, the first line is the revenues. The sixth line or whatever is balance as a percentage of rate shows what the projected rate that would be necessary to get close to zero. And then, you know, it says, oh, well, what's percentage mean? What does it mean with bills? If you go all the way to the bottom of the page, so you can see how might that have an impact on user. You can see the customer, where it says on the left-hand side, customer bill on the adjustment, to see how much it would go up on a monthly basis. And that's to get us to zero. Now, another one that's really important with this is there is an assumption of a level of capital improvement made out there. And there is an assumption built on this chart, which may or may not be true in the future, that we're going to receive, continue to get grants, that any of the capital stuff that we have to extend out there, 70-30, right, is a 70-30 split on it. And that's assuming this. If that's not true, then the numbers change pretty dramatically. But the places, and I'll find the right page here, has how much is we are assuming that we're going to spend on the water system in the future. And all I want you to do, because it's right now a guess, since we don't really have a master plan in our water service area. Tom, you can help me with the line. There's a page that has, I think it's approximately 400,000 per year. Okay.
Fifteen of twenty-four.
Okay. Yeah. So, and this I think is important as you look at it. When you go to that page 15, and it has a capital improvement project, so we see the things that are already planned. And again, that assumes that we're going to get that 70-30 financing, and then we'll go out and get a loan. But then from 2015 out to 2019, it's assuming we're going to spend 50 or 125,000 those years. Those, because we don't know what it is, we don't know yet until we have the water study, for example, of what our additional cost is going to be. We don't know what it's going to be if we, for example, we're putting in the Bogard extension and we're running lines onto there. If there's any kind of a cross service area, either a main or a lateral to connect the system, those, we're just not that far down. And those should be incorporated into future. So even with all those, and with just doing the debt, you can see what happens to the customer billing that's down there. And then it goes, do you want to charge, if you don't want to say outside the city, but do you want to charge new users? And is a new user defined, for example, as the subdivision that doesn't necessarily come off of the utility, but is new user in the last 5 years or 6 years, are they charged a rate that's higher? What the consultant has proposed, and he's comfortable of of us justifying that in front of RCA says a 20% increase of the difference. And you can see with the dollar amounts what happens when you do 20% to it.
Mayor, I'll relinquish the...
And it can answer any of the questions about the... So, I mean, it's a lot of numbers, but those are the ones that... The other ones are just like taking existing... We're making assumptions, for example, on page 10 of what we think the increase are going to be in our, you know, our water and sewer budgets. They're there so you can see and then adjust as things happen. You know, maybe our materials and service isn't 3%. It turns out, so that's why you go and you revisit the model every year. And we have this model, so we can do that without the consultant.
Thank you. Maybe this is off the subject too much, but do we have any indication from the Colony schools that once that line is out there that they may hook up? We do. Okay. Councilmember Hansen?
One of the costs has gone up greatly over the last, well, since 2007, is the general administrative expenses, okay? And Tom was here when we started allocating overhead to the different enterprise funds. But so, you know, in 2007, bear with me just a second. It was 5.7%. And let me finish. Maybe I started talking before I should have, but that's okay. And now it's 18%. So in can we get at some point next time we talk about this, a breakdown of that allocation? Okay. Huh?
I just want to make sure we got that written down, Mr. Manager. Yes, there's
yours. I just want to see what the allocation is.
Next meeting, Councilor Best.
I was just saying I support that.
Oh, but maybe we can do that out of committee. Oh, okay. All right, we'll do it out of committee.
So, Mayor, if asked what do we hope to get out of this session tonight, a couple of things. One is direction about do you wish to do, there is a recommendation in there from the consultant of having, one, an increase to the existing fee for existing users. There is another part of this that proposes a 20% difference between existing users inside the city and outside the city or new users. So do you buy that concept? The third one is guidance of whether they've got the latitude to calculate out what the cost of fire protection of the hydrants are, of both the capital costs and the maintenance costs, so I can come back with a number to recommend that we include that in the request for the rural fire district. So there's those three kinds of things I'd like guidance on, because then we're ready to literally publish your budget tomorrow. And so whatever get as guidance tonight, we'll plug that into the document you get, you know, in a day.
Okay, so rate increase. Inside and outside city limits differences. But now, I was just wondering, didn't John Olin do a either a calculate the cost for each hydrant last year? I mean, or I know there was some discussion about a hydrant, a flowage fee, or a, not flowage fee, that was the airport, but the hydrant, a hydrant cost, per hydrant cost, and is there any documentation or... I know we talked about it, and I know we did it, and I guess I'm just making sure that we're not just going down in the same trail and doing a bunch of research that's already been done, I guess. Councilman Rose.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I don't know if there's anything in the contract that we sign when we sign in with the Greater Palmer Fire Service Area or the different fire boards. Is it fire service area boards? Because those hydrants are out there in emergency situations, I understand that that's going to be utilized. But in our contracts with them, is there a flowage fee or anything like that? Or because we've put those hydrants out there, is that being adjusted in our contract with them?
I believe John Owen did look into that. I mean, I know we talked about it. I know that he and I talked about it. I think he and I and Doug talked about it. And I think that he looked, I think he has a lot of answers to that question. I think he looked at it fairly in depth at one point last year, and I can't remember exactly why it wasn't, you know, brought, there was no action to take, maybe, or maybe he didn't recommend an action, or maybe it wasn't the time. I don't really know, but I do know that he did, I think
he's done,
got quite a bit of research on that. I just don't know where it's at.
Your Honor.
Councilor Reese.
Thank you. I would like to ask the city manager or Tom, whichever one, are there any of our hydrants that are outside the Greater Palmer Fire Service Area that are in other service areas?
Yes.
The ones at the hospital probably are, I think. Yeah. So then that would mean not only negotiating the contract that we have for the Greater Palmer Fire Service Area, but it would require negotiation with the borough from that other fire service area. And then I guess also would be true on the water line and the Bogart extension. If there's going to be fire hydrants there, do we get into a different fire service area along that road? Or is that still all the Greater Palmer one? Because the Lakes comes in there pretty close to Colony, I think.
I have a fire service map in my office that we can look at. Either I can have get it during the break, but there's another fire service area, Colonies. I don't think it's Lakes. I think maybe though. Mr. Healy.
If I may, I think there are approximately 10 hydrants in the, what is it, Wasilla Lakes Fire District, the next, or Central, or whatever it is. In the Palmer Fire Service District, there's 47, I think. And I don't know exactly where the boundary is for Palmer Fire Service Area in terms of the Bogart Road, but yeah. Another
He's
note.
In Angstrom.
Okay.
Madam Mayor.
Councilor Carrington.
I would support the idea of getting some numbers together for the fire hydrant so we can start negotiating with the borough.
I guess I'm thinking we need to have John come and give us a update on it. All right, well, when we come out of the committee, the whole will address that. topics that we need to address before we should probably wrap this up? All right, I'm going to just quickly, I have to ask the clerk a couple questions. All right, and if there's nothing additional, we're going to be, come out of the committee of the whole, and we have direction to the manager to bring back, and this will be part of the budget resolution and the budget resolution information regarding the hydrants, the existing fee structure, further clarification, and also reports on the difference between the inside the city limits and outside the city limits costs for water service and recommendation for if there is a recommendation for rate adjustment. So that would be a part of the budget resolution. Correct, Madam Clerk?
As far as I know, I'm not sure. I believe that's what the manager was looking for and that it was included, but he would have to clarify. And then there was the request by Councilmember Hansen, but a breakdown of allocation of, and I didn't catch.
Breakdown of
administrative overhead.
Thank you.
Breakdown of allocation of administrative overhead in the fire service, or fire service, or anyway. Water service area of cost and so on. All right. So we have, that's completed. We're out of the committee of the whole, and with no further business before the council, the special meeting is adjourned, and we'll be back with our regular meeting at 7 o'clock.